Hey, everybody. Before we get into the show, we have a major, earth-shattering, massive announcement. Nikki?
Yes, it is that time again, Pete Wright. Our monthly planning membership is open for enrollment. GPS stands for Guided Planning Sessions, if you don't know already. We've worked really hard here at Take Control ADHD to provide you with a service that not only gives you ideas and strategies on how to plan your day and your week, but it also provides time and space for you to do the work and not just by yourself, but with others who understand and support you. We meet every Monday and Thursday, and there are three different sessions for each day that you're invited to attend. We are dedicated to making this membership to be one that is transformative in the way you think about planning and taking control of your time and schedule. There are so many benefits to the GPS membership, so please be sure to visit our website at takecontroladhd.com/GPS. Enrollment is open now through May 8th. Thank you for your time and attention, and I hope to see you soon.
On with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Taking Control, the ADHD podcast on True Story FM. I'm Pete Wright, and I'm here with Nikki Kinzer.
Hello, Nikki.
Hello, Pete Wright. How are you? Oh,
I'm so good. Back after a little vacation.
Right?
Yeah, it was really good. Went on a college tour. And you know, the number one lesson that you learn as a parent going on a college tour is? You know what it is?
I have no idea. I haven't done it yet.
Man, I would kill at college right now.
Would you?
I would slay. I would be so good as a
college
student.
Why do you say that?
Because I have systems. I had no systems when I was a student. I'm sitting there watching my son thinking, he has no systems without support. He's going to have to learn all the lessons I had to learn.
Right.
And it was amazing. Like, it was amazing. And I was so interested in all the subjects and the classes and all the awesome stuff and resources and everything was great. And so it was really fun. And in fact, it was actually rejuvenating to hear that, you know, the college enrollment is in these particular schools that we saw is up to the point where they're having to institute wait lists. Like, people are going to school. So lots of options, and that is exciting. Even though school isn't for everybody, for sure. I live in a family where that is true. We're split, but it was really gratifying and rejuvenating to see so many resources that are available
absolutely
to support new students. So
that was super fun. Time with your son.
We played video games so hard. We're playing so many VR games. I feel like I came back with like traumatic brain injury. Like we've got the VR and it's incredible. And we're really rolling with it. Everything I see now, I want to swipe or it's hard.
You have to live in the real life now.
I have to live in the real. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So we are talking about rolling with the punches today, how to give yourself compassion when the world knocks you sideways, and still part of our ongoing self-compassion series, which this kind of marks the end. We're going to wrap it up next week with a little review. And I know we've got, be on the lookout, because we've got some requests coming out for thoughts and comments. We want to do a little bit of a listener feedback conversation next week, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Love to hear what people have taken away from our series.
For sure. And judging from the live chat over the past 4 or 5 weeks, it has been well received, frankly. It's been it seems like we're hitting some notes that are shared by others. So please, we'd love to hear your thoughts and how you have been able to find ways to grant yourself self-compassion when the world knocks you sideways based on the conversations we've been having. So that's number one. So that's what we're going to be talking about going forward. Before we dig into that, head over to takecontroladhd.com to get to know us a little bit better. You can listen to the show right there on the website or subscribe to the mailing list, and we will send you an email each time a new episode is released. You can join us on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest at Take Control ADHD. But to really connect with us, head over to the ADHD Discord community. Super easy to jump into the general community chat channel. Just visit takecontroladhd.com/discord and you will be whisked over to the general invitation and log in. And of course, if you're looking for a little bit more, and if this show has ever touched you or helped you to understand your relationship with ADHD in a new way, we invite you to support the show directly through Patreon. Patreon is listener-supported podcasting. With a few dollars a month, you can help guarantee that we continue to grow the show, add new features, and invest more heavily in our community. And, you know, put food on the table. This is our jobs, and it's really, really helpful when you pony up your $5 or $10 a month to join the community, join the live streams, chat along with us, and also know that we're able to continue doing this because of that support. It means a huge, huge thing to us that you are able to contribute as you can. You can learn more about that at patreon.com/theADHDpodcast, patreon.com/theADHDpodcast to learn more. We have another announcement.
Yes, we do. So there is still 1 week left to sign up for GPS. And if you're not sure what GPS is, if this is the first time you've heard of it, GPS stands for Guided Planning Sessions. And this is a monthly membership program that guides you through the process of learning how to plan and schedule your day with confidence. Members meet every Monday and Thursday for a 1 hour guided planning session. And we are doing something new where we are actually expanding another meeting time. So we've got two different meeting times now. So now every Monday and Thursday, you can choose between the two different sessions. We have a 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern session, or we have a 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern session that you can choose from. And I will be available for 1 hour in between those sessions for open Q&A and be able to talk about your own specific systems, questions, discussion, whatever you guys want to do in that hour. So if you're tired of chronic lateness and forgetting appointments, head over to takecontroladhd.com/GPS to learn more and sign up. The deadline to enroll is April 28th.
April 28th. That's coming right up.
Yes. Yes. So come join us.
Goodness. All right. Shall we give ourselves some compassion right now?
Yes. Let's lean into it.
Today, we are connecting self-compassion when you're in the middle of an RSD storm. But yes. I think we need to start with a review of what RSD is. What is the emotional storm of ADHD?
That's right. That's right. So it stands for rejection sensitive dysphoria. It's often referred to as emotional dysregulation or hysteroid dysphoria.
Hysteroid dysphoria.
I haven't heard that. That's in the European Union.
Yes, it is.
Interesting. Okay. See, you learn something new every day.
That's right.
Thank you, Melissa, for adding that into the note. So this I know and understand from Dr. William Dotson. So we had Dr. Dotson on our show a while back, actually talking about RSD and explaining what it is. And this is a quote from an article that he wrote in Attitude Magazine. Rejection sensitive dysphoria is extreme emotional sensitivity and pain triggered by the perception that a person has been rejected or criticized by important people in their life. It may also be triggered by a sense of falling short, failing to meet their own high standards or others' expectations.
Right. Right.
Yes.
And I would just add from Dr. Dotson that it's failing to meet others, our perception of others' expectations. Right. Right.
Yeah. Not like, just your own, but others.
I'm often feeling like I need to, like I'm in, when I hit a storm, it's often because of the story that I tell myself, not because of the reality of expectations.
Right. Right.
People are always more understanding, as we've talked about over the last 5 weeks.
Yeah,
than I am absolutely. With myself.
Then yeah. Yes, you're always going to be harder than on right. yourself for sure.
Sure.
And it's really almost 100% of people with ADHD experience RSD. Mm-hmm. And he goes on to say that it's neurological and genetic. It's not currently listed in the diagnostic criteria for ADHD. However, I do think that there is when you talk about emotional dysregulation, it's very mm-hmm. similar to that, right? Like, so yeah. they kind of go hand in hand. Dysphoria is Greek for difficult to bear. And so this is a really important, I think, point in understanding RSD is that it's difficult to bear. So it doesn't mean you're too sensitive or you're too emotional. Because a lot of times that's what we hear. Oh, you're being right. too sensitive, or you're caring about this too much.
Right. And two is the dirty word in that sentence. Right. I don't mind it being sensitive or being emotional. That is a human experience.
Exactly.
It's when I'm being told I'm too, that's like, oh, so now there's normal when it comes to being emotional. Like now I'm being judged against a false standard of sensitivity.
Exactly. Yeah. And that I'm in the wrong here for caring too much. Like how,
right.
so maybe you're wrong for not caring enough.
Yeah. Right.
right. Like where does that come in? Yeah. And then also from the article, he says, it's not that people with ADHD are wimps or weak. It's that the emotional response hurts them much more than it does people without the condition. No one likes to be rejected, criticized, or fail. But for people with RSD, these universal life experiences are much more severe than for neurotypical individuals. They are unbearable, restricting, and highly impairing. And I have to say, I see this with clients, and it goes back to just what you just said. It's this like mm-hmm. high expectations of themselves. And what I see is incredible. It's the opposite of self-compassion.
Yeah.
What is that? Like
self-loathing.
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's so prevalent, you know, when they talk about their experiences and how deep they are. And and it's definitely something that's different, you know, and I think it's important to understand that.
You know, I want to throw something in here, which is just, again, just a comment on my somatic experience, like what it feels like for me. And if you relate to it, awesome. If not, I hope there's someone out there that you can relate to who relates to this too. I think as a part of ADHD, I find big swings when it comes to RSD, right? I can distract myself with positive stuff and VR video games and, you know, movies and shows and books and all kinds of stuff anytime I need to. But what I find is as a result of that distraction, that sort of emotional distraction, when a storm hits, like when I find myself like repelled or a change of plans that cause me to question my reality or question my ability to perform in a given way, I can go from high to low so quickly. It manifests as something else, as like, you know, wondering if I'm bipolar, right? Mm-hmm. Like it hurts so much, so fast. And that's the sort of dysregulation part of it, that I can go from feeling pretty good about the world to getting some news and realizing that I'm from another planet. I can't be related to, and therefore I shouldn't be loved by anyone, and therefore my kids don't respect me, and therefore every time I look at my wife, she's wondering, why the hell am I married to you? Like, those swings are legit and terrifying.
Yes.
Absolutely terrifying. And so, like, to think about those triggers, like, that remind you, yes, everybody is thinking about these things that, you know, we have definitions, we're putting words around these things, but the somatic experience feels like you are being physically abused, right? Like it is gut-wrenching, curl up in fetal position kind of stuff. It can go to that level. And I think that's what people misunderstand who don't live with that. And maybe mine's manifested too by, you know, my experience with anxiety. Like maybe that's all kind of part and partial, but that doesn't make it any less real.
Right.
And so.
Well, okay. And I think what you're explaining here is highly impairing.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you just explained.
Yeah. Because you can go from being functional to being not functional.
Right. Absolutely.
So fast.
Yeah. Yeah. But not a place you want to stay in.
No.
You know, for sure. So it's important to understand it, put words around it, and then we got to also figure out how to not stay in it.
Yes.
And something that Melissa had said when she was doing the research here, and I think this is a really good point, is this definition and explanation feels freeing. It feels like I can stop being so hard on myself for the way I feel and how I react when I hear something said to me that triggers those negative feelings. It's just how my brain is wired. that it's not my fault and I shouldn't blame myself for my reactions. Just like you can't blame a person with Parkinson's for their tremors. They don't have control over their body in that moment either. It's all about how you work through it after it triggers. Yeah. And I think that's a really, really good point. And I think that this is where understanding what's happening gives you that knowledge, gives you that freedom that, okay, mm-hmm. I get this. This is separate. This is this ADHD thing. It's not something that I'm purposely trying to do to myself, yeah, you know, right. or to hurt myself. So I appreciate her putting mm-hmm. that in there because I think it's really yeah. important.
And I think it's important too that we just at least acknowledge that it's the way Melissa writes this really hits home to me, but also because when I need to not blame myself for my reactions the most is when I'm unable to imagine not blaming myself for those reactions the most, right? That's the impairment, is that it's when I'm in that trough of emotional despair
yes.
that I need these triggers. I need the tools to be able to cope and shock myself out of that so that I can move forward again.
Right. Well, and having these conversations brings it to light. And so if you have this kind of conversation with people that are around you, mm-hmm. so they're, you know, it's two people probably, or a group of people that something's happening that's having you respond this way. So if it's a partner or a spouse or whatever, like having these kinds of conversations around this part of ADHD, it just gives that extra understanding of that's what this is. This is what this is. And I think with that knowledge, again, it just gives you more of an idea of what's happening rather than like having this happen and not have any understanding of why.
Right.
And then really thinking that something's wrong and you're crazy and, you know, all of those things, like, am I bipolar? Like all of those things can kind of start to, yeah. to go down that rabbit hole.
Right.
So yes, the connection to self-compassion. So how do we connect RSD, with self-compassion? That's a good question. How do we do that, well, Pete?
Yeah, no, I mean, I to me, it's pretty natural, right? Because generally when I'm in that space, it comes because I'm incapable of looking at myself as a whole person, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that is self-compassion, right? Mm-hmm. It's giving myself the grace to feel everything I'm feeling when I'm feeling it, and to be aware that it is a feeling that I'm feeling, to be aware mm-hmm. that it's an experience that shall pass. But when I'm in it, it's hard to experience anything other than this is my whole world. This tiny piece of my lived experience is now my whole world. And I'm not going to be able to get out of it because there is no out of it. I'm in it and that's all I get. That's mm-hmm. all that it is. So for me, it's this idea of being able to stop and say, hold on, this is just a piece. I am able to identify what this piece is and know that on the other side of it, there is love and compassion and grace and patience and understanding. And right now, maybe I have to just go through a little bit more the grief and the pain part in order to see that, because and that's the hardest part, right? Like getting out of RSD, it has to be kind of a jarred mechanism for me. Like it has to be something that is, and we did a whole presentation on this, on surprising yourself with joy.
Right.
These are some of the very similar tools, right? To be able to stop and remind yourself. One of the things that we did at this is another Melissa suggestion on our team, right? Stuff that people can't see in our Discord server. We have this high praise channel mm-hmm. and it is for like when you members of the community say something nice about something we did, when we're not feeling good, we post it there and we can share those comments because that stuff that stuff matters,
yeah,
right?
That
stuff matters. And I didn't know how much it mattered until I started reading it and realizing that there is, in fact, another side to this wall of emotion that I'm experiencing mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. And that is somebody got something out of something we did, right?
Right.
And that is huge. That is Absolutely. Huge. Just like I get something out of every time I go into Discord and I read a post of somebody who's solved another problem and I get to learn something from how mm-hmm. they've done this, whether it's I found a great office chair or two, mm-hmm. You know, I've solved a level on a video game, to I found some new music that I just love to work to I now understand myself a little bit better and how to get through an emotional storm. I'm constantly learning from that. And I feel like that's really important to reflect on, that mm-hmm. it's, I can stop. It's like the old stop, drop, and roll, right? Like when you're on fire. Do you remember that?
Right, yes, that? Of yeah. course, yes.
This is the stop, drop, and roll for RSD and an emotional storm. It's like, what do I need to do? And maybe you should just stop, drop, and roll. That might be just enough exactly. of a jarring physical kind of somatic experience that you might shake yourself out of feeling bad. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway. Well, and I think that there's the connection that I want to highlight is the negative self-talk. It's the conversation that you're having inside of your head. So we know that this self-talk can be a symptom after an RSD episode. So something yeah. happens and you have negative self-talk. And I think, you know, one of the things that is a really easy example to share is if you have a conversation with your boss and you walk out of that conversation feeling like you're going to get fired. And so now we're in this RSD episode and you're talking to yourself, right? So you're talking about how awful this is. So this is just making the RSD worse, because it can also, RSD can be caused by your negative self-talk, promoted by a real or perceived failure. And that's the thing, is that is it real or is it perceived? What is truth? What is not? Like, it's really hard to dissect all of that when you're feeling that bad, right? So we have to, I think when you say stop and drop and roll, we have to really stop that inner dialogue that is hurting us, because it's just making it worse. And so that's just the only thing I would add
yeah.
to that.
Yeah.
Actually, I have more to add. Who am I kidding?
Right.
the other thing I have to add is identifying what happens to you when you start to feel that RSD coming on. So we've talked about this before. We haven't really had an expert come on. This would be somebody that, this would be a great expert to have, but like somebody to talk about what happens to your body when you get angry, what happens to your body when you get anxious, like where do you feel it? Does your face start getting red? Does your throat start tightening? Does your stomach start tightening? Because your body is sending you messages before you even really understand what's happening. Right. And so if we can start really leaning into that too, and can see that, okay, I'm starting to get really upset here, then it's that stop. Okay. Noticing that this is what's happening. And then the dropping and rolling is like rolling away from the situation. I need to walk away right now. I'm too upset to talk about this. I need to breathe. And this comes back to like James Ochoa's breathing techniques, is stopping that negative pattern. You know, I need to take time for myself and be able to walk away. This is not easy. It's not going to be done the first time you try. Believe me, I understand that. But it's tools. It's tools that you can have kind of in your toolbox to remember, okay, what am I feeling? What do I need to do in this situation before you say something or do something that you yes. regret?
And it is, you know, we'll say it again, it's a practice, right?
Right.
And that I think is the important thing. Like we talked about the high praise channel. I feel like that is important to make a habit to look at all the time, like mm-hmm. every day. If you're going to do something like we talked about the joy jar a long time, if you're going to create something like that, make it a practice to look at it when you are both happy and when
yes.
you're sad. Because if you only look at it when you're sad, you'll forget to look at it when you're sad, right?
Yeah,
it has to be a part of your ingrained behavior in order to be of use. Like you have to contribute to it and get from it when it is useful. And so that's important. I want to throw out an addition. This is from Eva Karen in our chat room. And remember, if you are a member of the ADHD community at the deluxe level, better, you can join in and chat along with the show live. And this is, I think, a really, really great contribution. She says, I have a colleague who uses stop, drop, and roll in this way. Stop, literally shut your mouth. Drop, drop into your breathing. And roll, roll into the truth of a relationship. And that is credited to Julie Alvarado. I really like that. As much as I also really like the idea of just stopping and rolling around on the floor.
Right, like right. There's to get the fire out.
Yeah, just get the fire out. Like, if it, like to me, there's like a metaphor that works there.
Right.
I really appreciate this contribution. And I think that's important to recognize that this is, that's a really interesting metaphor that could serve as a pattern interrupt, as
absolutely.
I love to say.
Well, and something else I would add to that, a pattern interrupt, is a lot of ADHDers are verbal processors, and you need to talk to somebody. Not to the person that maybe is making you feel the RST, but someone else that's not in the situation or the conversation. But the beauty of that, the benefit of that, is you're able to talk to someone you trust and really get your thoughts out into the universe, right? They're not just stuck in your head. You can actually talk about how you're feeling. And it can be irrational. It can be whatever it is. You just need to get it out to somebody and talk that through. And there's a lot of power in that, because it's that venting thing, right? It's like, I just need to vent for a second. I just need to get this out. There's like real magic to that. And I think it's also important to make sure that the person that you're talking to understands what you need from them. And that may be looking for solutions. Or it could be, let me just vent. I don't want you to try to fix this. I don't want you to tell me everything's going to be okay. I just want to tell you how I feel. Mm-hmm. A lot of power in that.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Yeah.
So we've already sort of broken the seal on building tools, on ways to cope and regroup when you're kind of in an experience of forgetting to give yourself compassion,
right?
In the middle of a storm. What else is high on your list?
You know, something came up with me, in one of my coaching groups recently, and she was asking about how, and she used the word pivot, which just makes me laugh, because mm-hmm. I always think of Ross and Friends and pivot. But she was asking about, you know, what if you have something that you're really looking forward to and it doesn't happen? Mm-hmm. How do you pivot from that experience or that disappointment? And it was a really good question, because it's not necessarily related to RSD necessarily, but it's that disappointment. It's not around rejection. It's just disappointment that something didn't happen. And it was interesting, because as we talked through it, you know, a lot of times this happens in coaching sessions where they'll talk, and this is why processing is so important, and they kind of come up with their own solutions as they're talking. And so as she was talking, she's like, okay, well, and it was a birthday party or some kind of party or event that she was going to take her kids to. And she started thinking, well, okay, well, we can't do this, but we can do this instead. And, you know, and she kind of started walking herself through that disappointment, like what the alternative is. And it was just a really interesting process to kind of see to witness being able to kind of go from this disappointment to like, all right, it's going to be okay. Like, I can sit in this disappointment and I can be disappointed, but I also can look at other, you know, ways to make this okay. And pivoting what you do that day or how you look at it. So I think, you know, again, the verbal processing is so important. I also think there's really an important piece of leaning into whatever it is you're feeling. You know, your emotions are valid. And being able to lean into that. And as we've learned in some of our other episodes around self-compassion, when we avoid them, it takes longer to get through them and to the other side. And so sometimes, like you were saying or alluding to, we just need to drop and stay on the floor a little bit, you know, and be okay with that.
And I really appreciate that, like struggling with the with pivoting, because that's what, you know, started my thinking about all this is when is the explicit situation, the scenario in which I have an expectation of what is going to happen and something changes and the new thing brings me uncertainty about my role in it. And I go through the fear, uncertainty, and doubt. I'm scared of this new reality. I don't know what the new plan is, and I don't know what I'm going to be expected to do. And whatever I'm expected to do, I'm not sure I can do it up to the standard that others expect of me or the picture that I'm painting of others' expectations of me. So plans change. And now let's say it's a professional context. Now I have to do a thing and essentially improvise. And there is the potential of a storm of terror that comes from that, that can be debilitating. And so that's the piece that I think is the real flag of fear for me.
So what would be a different question or a different conversation you could have in your mind?
Right, right. Exactly. And that's why I have this, this process that I just, I think it's important to either, for me, I need to write or talk it out and to think about like, okay, here's the new plan. Is there anything? Is there anything about this new plan that I can latch onto, right? Is there one thing, one tiny element of this new plan that I can achieve? Because once I find one thing, usually I can find a couple of more and it goes out from there. Yeah. But that one thing is like a match in a cave. It's like a light that I can see. And as soon as I can see something, I can start to see everything.
Absolutely.
But without that focus, without really figuring out what is the tiny atomic element that is something I can relate to, I don't know. I don't know how to do it. I'm just in the dark. And so that is.
So you keep looking for the light. You keep looking for the light. And that's the thing is that you don't want to stay in the dark. You got to keep looking for it. And so when we think about what is the worst thing that can happen, we also have to think about what is the best thing that could happen. And maybe this is okay. Yes, because now, because life doesn't go as planned. And that's the thing is that we always are going to have to adjust and things are going to happen that we don't expect or things are going to take longer than what we think and all of these things. And so it's looking for that light. And also when you're not in the middle of the RSD storm, I know it's really difficult to do it when you're in it, but we've said this before, it does pass. It does pass. So once you're over that, that immediate reaction, opening up that possibility of what could this do that is a positive in my life? What do I learn from this? What other doors does it now open?
Yeah. And I you know, I bring up the professional context, but it could be as much as like, oh, I am with a bunch of people and we all go into a restaurant and I decided what the restaurant is and I'm really excited about the restaurant. And somebody says, oh, I can't eat such and such at that restaurant. And then the plan changes and somebody else picks a restaurant and I have to live with the disappointment and the excitement of what I thought I was going to share with this group of people. What is the one thing that I can latch on to that is positive about going to this new restaurant? Because if not, I will sit in silence at the back of the table in the corner and I will stew over the fact that I didn't get to share my restaurant with these people, whoever that is, and I won't be able to find the light. I have to work on finding the light in order to be able to change contexts. And that's the, I mean, we've changed the
yes, because you know what? With your example,
yeah,
that has nothing to do with you.
No.
It has absolutely nothing to do with you or your choice or your recommendation. All
but
it
I sure
is,
as hell can make
I
it
know,
about
but
me.
That's where you have to like stop and pause and say, wait a minute, this isn't about me. This has nothing to do with me. And you know
and
what
you know
get
what
to
else?
Do?
You they have great to, lemonade.
Yeah.
Maybe and, that's the match.
And it just doesn't matter because you still get to go out with your friends and you're going to have a lovely evening, whether they go to your restaurant or not. So it's really talking yourself out of like the doom and like, wait a minute, this really is not a reflection of me at all.
And I'm like, using this as like a hyperbolic statement, but I dare you to think about this and not imagine yourself being in this position ever. Maybe it's not about a restaurant. Maybe it's about something else, but it can be as innocuous as a restaurant change that can spark a spiral.
Yeah.
And, and so I think to find the match, find that match.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Great. Good stuff.
Is that it? Are we good?
Yeah.
Can we solve it?
Love it. So next week we'll be doing some of our own takeaways, because this was a longer series than what we've done. And so important, though. I just feel like there were so many great takeaways, and I would love to hear what listeners have to say too.
Yeah. And I feel like this is the challenge of this particular series, because it is deeply personally important to me. And mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not done. I know we're going to come back to relating to this now that we've peeled the onion just a little bit.
So I'm going to plug GPS again, because you just reminded me of something. We're not done. And that's exactly what happens in GPS when people will talk to me about it. And this is the planning membership that we've talked about. It's not like all of a sudden you have this, like you're this magical planner, time management expert, right? Like it's always a work in progress. And that's why it's a membership and not just a start and end date. But that's like what you just said is so much about ADHD in general, mm-hmm. is that you take what you learn about yourself, you get a better understanding of how you work. You get those systems like you were talking about with you and your son, you get these things to help you. But at the end of the day, it's still a work in progress. There is not necessarily this insight. That sounds like insight, but I meant final ending.
End point.
Yes. Yeah. But I think that's a good thing to remember is that, we're all working on this, and there is no perfection. There is nothing about this that's perfect or easy. Mm-hmm. Not easy.
For sure.
But you're not alone either. That's the thing too. It's really important to understand that there's a whole community of folks that really get you and understand you and live through this every day.
Yeah. And so much of that community is right here.
It is.
Control ADHD community. I love it so much. Thank you, everybody, for downloading and listening to the show. We sure appreciate your time and your attention. Don't forget, if you have something to contribute to the conversation, please, please do head over to the Show Talk channel in our Discord server, and you can join us right there by becoming a supporting member at the deluxe level or better at patreon.com/theADHDpodcast. On behalf of Nikki Kinzer, I'm Pete Wright, and we'll see you right back here next week on Taking Control, the ADHD Podcast.